Veterans Affairs tackling the problem of veterans experiencing homelessness, and the Army increases artillery production for Ukraine. All of that and more today, January 27th, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. First up, Veterans Affairs staffers helped move more than 40,000 veterans into permanent housing last year, surpassing their goal. 11 months ago, VA Secretary Dennis McDonough announced plans to place 38,000 veterans facing significant financial hardship and housing problems into stable, permanent shelter by the end of 2022. Department officials just announced that instead, they reached 40,401 individuals by December 31st. McDonough said, quote, "This is great progress, but it's just the beginning. We at VA will not rest until the phrase homeless veteran is a thing of the past." Here's why it matters. Officials said lessons learned in last year's amplified outreach efforts will help them provide more housing services in years to come. The figures come from the annual point-in-time count held each January and represent a snapshot of the current housing problem among veterans. The PIT count is not an exhaustive list of all individuals who will experience homelessness over the course of a year, but according to McDonough, it's still important to, quote, know what we're up against. On Wednesday night, McDonough joined a group of VA staffers and volunteers to assist with this year's Washington, D.C. PIT count. White House officials have also announced a nationwide goal of reducing homelessness among all Americans by 25% in the next 2 years. Another important story, with demand high in Ukraine, the Army is ramping up its artillery production. In short, the service is rapidly moving to expand its domestic production capacity of 155mm artillery shells, which Ukrainians expensed roughly 3,000 rounds of a day last year, according to U.S. defense officials. The U.S. government has already sent over 1 million 155mm rounds to the country. Here's why it matters. Prior to the war in Ukraine, the U.S. could build about 14,400 of the 155mm artillery shells a month. But as Ukrainian forces burn through the ammunition for howitzers, the U.S. is hoping to ramp up production to roughly 90,000 shells a month, according to the New York Times. Army Acquisition Chief Doug Bush said at a press conference earlier this week, activity for the shells is almost exclusively at the Iowa Army Ammunition Plant. He added, quote, "We're looking to both expand there and stand up additional capability in the private sector to supplement them." The Army is working with General Dynamics Ordnance and Tactical Systems to expand production capacity at Scranton Army Ammunition Plant in Pennsylvania and a neighboring facility. Another plant in Garland, Texas, may soon do the same work. In other news, the Pentagon's policy shop updated guidelines for developing and operating autonomous weapons. For more on this effort to provide ethical guidelines for AI, C4ISR Net reporter Courtney Albin breaks it all down for us.
The Pentagon this week issued an update to its guidance for developing and operating autonomous weapon systems. Michael Horowitz, DOD's Director of Emerging Capabilities Policy, told reporters on Wednesday that while the policy changes amount to relatively minor clarifications, they offer a degree of transparency about DOD's process for making sure it's using the technology responsibly. Another reason for the changes, Horowitz said, is to account for the technological advances in artificial intelligence that have happened since the policy was created more than a decade ago. The update incorporates what he called a dramatic, expanded vision for how the military intends to use AI in the future. Last year, DOD released its Responsible Artificial Intelligence Strategy and Implementation Pathway, which focuses on building trust between human decision makers and AI systems. The policy changes made this week are meant to align DOD's approach to building autonomous systems with that strategy. Horowitz noted that the policy doesn't prohibit the creation of certain systems, but instead requires that all proposed programs go through a comprehensive testing and review process. The other thing this update does is create a new autonomous weapons system working group to support the senior leaders who are tasked with approving new autonomous systems. The group is chaired by the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy and includes representatives from DOD's Research and Engineering Office, the Operational Testing Community, and other pertinent Pentagon organizations.
Thanks, Courtney. If you enjoyed our conversation with Courtney, be sure to rate us and leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. Also on your radar for today, Republican lawmakers are renewing calls for the Department of Defense to reinstate thousands of troops dismissed from the services last year for refusing to get vaccinated against COVID-19. The policymakers introduced new legislation in the House and Senate on Wednesday on the matter, saying that simply ending the vaccine mandate for the military doesn't go far enough to compensate those dismissed individuals. Earlier this month, Defense Department officials ended the requirement that all service members receive the COVID-19 vaccine. That change was forced by members of Congress, who included the issue in the Bipartisan Defense Authorization Act passed in December. Senator Ted Cruz from Texas said in a statement, quote, "I'm glad that we're able to remove the COVID-19 vaccine mandate last Congress, but there is more work to do. About 8,000 troops were forced from the ranks last year for refusing the shots, many claiming religious objections. Whether the new legislation could have the same success as the vaccine mandate repeal remains unclear at this time." And now, here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. The Associated Press is reporting that a former Army reservist and Chicago graduate student was sentenced to 8 years in prison on Wednesday for spying for the Chinese government by gathering information on scientists and engineers in the U.S. with knowledge about aerospace and satellite technology. Our team is reporting that Congress's House Armed Services Committee will have a panel on military personnel issues. Stars and Stripes is reporting that the Marine Corps hosted a second activation ceremony yesterday for its first new installation in 70 years, Camp Blaz in Guam. And the Virginian Pilot is reporting the Coast Guard will soon hear public testimony as part of its investigation of the fire that decimated the cruise ship Spirit of Norfolk at Naval Station Norfolk last summer. And on this day in history, in 1945, Auschwitz was liberated during World War II. After Russian troops freed the survivors at the concentration camp in Poland, the horrors and realities of Nazi Germany's Holocaust were further exposed to the world. Today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. If you liked what you heard, give us a like wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media @defense_news and @Military Times. Also, please rate us and be sure to leave a comment. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimon Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by Leo Shane III, Jen Judson, Courtney Albin, and Bryant Harris. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Bruce. Have a great day.